With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, a production of iHeartRadio.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy football advice, speculation, and whatever stupid stuff they decide to drop into the show. Now here's your host, Paul Charchian.
Welcome to our second draft day edition of Fantasy Football Weekly. I am Paul Charchian. My co-host this week is Matt Harrison at Explosive Output on Twitter. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Charch. How are you doing?
I am doing well. Good to talk to you and exciting to get back to the draft. Last week, we covered the first rounders because we tape on Fridays. And so the first round is over. This is our chance to catch up with everybody else, which is a lot of guys that we think are that have a chance to be meaningful contributors here, at least in the short term. And so our opportunity to talk about everybody else. And man, the second round in particular, just loaded with fantasy factors.
Is the second round of this draft the most loaded fantasy round of maybe any draft ever? Like better than many first rounds that we've seen in the past few years. The second round is bonkers.
I'd go one step farther. I would take the second round of this draft over, from just a fantasy standpoint, over the entirety of last year's draft.
Yeah, it's that good.
It is. It's so many great guys to talk about. We're going to begin at the running back position. And again, for a little bit of background on this discussion today, less oriented in Dynasty, more on redraft. We're going to do full Dynasty editions of Fantasy Football Weekly in the coming weeks. And excited for that as well as we start really catering to those people that are, and some are already having their Dynasty drafts. Let's start at the running back position. And I let you choose the order you wanted to go with for the guys we're going to talk about. And the first guy you had up to bat, Matt, was DeAndre Swift.
Well, I basically went in order of how they were drafted in the second round. Okay. So it's not like DeAndre too. Swift is my favorite out of all these guys, but he was the next one up. He goes with the third pick in the second round, and he goes to Detroit. Kerryon Johnson's contract still has two more years on it, but he can't seem to stay on the field at all. And Swift probably takes over as the lead back in, at very worst, what should be a 60-40 split. DeAndre Swift, when we previewed the rookies, we had him as probably the most complete running back in this draft as far as what he can do all over the field. So I really like DeAndre Swift to be one of those difference makers right away in the fantasy world.
I believe that it'll be more like 75-25 DeAndre Swift because he's so good. It is arguably the most elusive, shifty, difficult to tackle back in this draft. And he's just shattering ankles of all of these defensive players. And I just don't think Kerryon Johnson is anywhere near as good as DeAndre Swift is. So I think there's a real chance that he turns into a three down back that gets a vast majority of work, even though the Lions aren't known for three down backs. They also haven't invested a great picker, had a guy nearly as good as DeAndre Swift there in a long time. And I think he can just house that job. And it's somebody that I'm very intrigued by.
Absolutely.
Let's move over to Jonathan Taylor going to Indianapolis, where he gets to run behind one of the league's great offensive lines.
Yeah, and I think that Marlon Mack is just an ordinary running back who's had an incredibly good line in front of him. But I think Mack is kind of a perfect complement to Taylor because Taylor provides the thunder. He provides the lightning. Mack provides a light drizzle and the ability to catch balls out of the backfield, which is kind of Taylor's one thing that he can't do super well. So I think Taylor's in line to be, you know, the 75-25 on the bell cow status here. And Mack figures in as a passing down back and a third down back from now on. Kind of kills one of our favorite players, Nyheim Hines.
Maybe one of your favorite players. I would call it one of mine.
Just because we like to play the nine times drop because it rhymes with his name. That's about
true. Yeah, we do love that. We do love that part. So Taylor, of course, a very complete back who stunned people with his combine run of 4.39. We knew he was fast. We didn't think he was like track star fast, but it turns out he is. And you still get a physical, thick, well-built back who's got better footwork and lateral movement than anybody his size should have. And I mentioned the great offensive line for Indianapolis. Pro Football Focus ranked Indy's offensive line as the second best run blocking line in the NFL. You're going to give Jonathan, Taylor like five free yards on half his runs. I mean, that's, it could be a fantastic opportunity for him. And I think Taylor feels to me like he's going to end up fitting in. I think he's going to end up fitting into round two of fantasy drafts. Does that sound about right to you?
Yeah, that's kind of where I got him. In my latest dynasty trade value chart, I have him as the 12th overall player right now. So I think he's right up there. And I want to ask you, Charge, if you're in the rookie draft and you hold 1-1 in a traditional dynasty rookie draft, would you take Jonathan Taylor or would you take Clyde Edwards-Hilaire?
I think I'm not going to overthink it. I'm going to take Jonathan Taylor because I get the every down back. I get the goal line back. I'm not sharing time with anybody, and I can't be assured of that with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. As much as I love him, I still feel like we're not talking about Jonathan Taylor in a 60-40 split here. I mean, I don't think
Taylor takes that offense over.
I think so, too. Now, Frank Wright is part of that, you know, the dreaded Eagles offense historically, right? And where they did use a frustrating rotation of backs. So, you know, maybe it'll be more of a rotation than we realize or that we want to believe. But I think Damian Williams is a bigger threat to Clyde Edwards-Helaire than Jonathan Taylor is.
Well, Frank Reich also was in the San Diego Chargers system where they've been known for bell cows for years and years. So we could see it go both ways here.
Yeah, we could see it go both ways. Very intrigued by Taylor, obviously, and I think almost anybody would feel that way. All right, let's go to our next running back up. Cam Akers was the next guy taken in the third round, and he ends up going to the Rams. We figured the Rams would address this. I think it was a little earlier than I expected them to, but they end up going with the powerfully built Cam Akers, presumably to take the role of Todd Gurley.
Yeah, it seems like he would slide right into Todd Gurley's role, but last year, the Rams often featured both Gurley and Malcolm Brown, and they sprinkled in Daryl Henderson as well. And gosh, all those Daryl Henderson truthers out there who were investing heavily in him when they got rid of Gurley, they got to be freaking out right now because this is not good for his numbers.
Oh, no, not at all.
I do think that the Rams learned something because of the overuse of Gurley, and I have a feeling that this is now going to be a shared backfield. I still like Akers the best out of this bunch. But right off the bat, I would say he might be a 50% snap rate kind of guy with Malcolm Brown and Daryl Henderson eating up the other half together. So I'm a little nervous about the usage that he'll get there, but I do like the player and I do like the offense. So there's going to be some bright spots ahead for Cam Akers.
Do you think Cam Akers gets the goal line work for the Rams? I do because he's just so physical and he's so powerful. And I don't think they've got that on roster right now. I believe Cam Akers is going to get the goal line carries. Do you?
Yeah, and Todd Gurley was that goal line back last year, so they obviously don't see that out of Henderson or Malcolm Brown because they gave it to Gurley. So I think Akers does have that the opportunity to be like a double-digit touchdown kind of guy just with that Rams offense getting close to the stripe.
Yeah, agreed. That's what makes Cam Akers awfully, awfully intriguing here. It's a Rams offense, as we know, can be very explosive. Cam Akers could be sitting on 12 touchdowns, and I wouldn't be at all surprised. Could be higher. I mean, I'm not saying that's the absolute ceiling, but I think, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he hit the 12 touchdown mark, and that makes him a significant fantasy contributor.
Sure.
Let's go to J.K. Dobbins, the fourth running back taken in the draft. He ends up in Baltimore, and this was at least in the short term, this was a frustrating landing spot for an awfully good player in J.K. Dobbins.
Well, I mean, if you consider that Mark Ingram was kind of the lead back in New Orleans, and then this dynamic playmaker named Alvin Kamara showed up and really cut into Ingram's production there. I think Ingram probably works best in a shared backfield. It hurts Ingram, I think, more than anybody. And I think Dobbins is a perfect replacement for Ingram eventually, because Mark Ingram does turn 30 this year, but he does have 2 years left on that contract.
Yeah.
So I don't foresee Dobbins coming in as a bell cow. Yeah, he was great last year. But I do look at this as probably an even split between these two, which is going to be frustrating for fantasy owners for sure.
It is. It's going to be very frustrating. And he's got to deal with his own quarterback housing a lot of runs and potentially goal line run situations away from him, too. The funny thing about J.K. Dobbins, man, when we broke down the rookie running back 6 weeks ago when we were prepping for the draft and we were doing these shows, his comparable that we talked about was Mark Ingram. And now look, he ends up in Baltimore running with Mark Ingram. So, I mean, clearly they like the skill traits that Ingram brings, and they're just doing some succession planning already. And I wonder if they're not going to grind up Mark Ingram and force a bunch of carries through him now at the end of his deal is coming up through just the last couple of years here. And just grind him up and then just keep J.K. Dobbins more fresh.
I could see that happening if Baltimore wasn't so close to being a title contender. I think the talent will win out and they're going to probably play it pretty balanced and try to, you know, win the Super Bowl this year.
Could be. Although Mark Ingram's plenty talented. I mean, the issue here is not that he's not good.
No, absolutely. Dobbins is plenty talented, too, though. So I don't know if they can go, you know what, we're going to just ride Mark Ingram forever this year and see how it goes. But because Dobbins is just too talented and they invested a pretty high draft pick in him.
Zach Moss went to Buffalo next. And this is a tricky spot for him because we all loved what we saw from Devin Singletary at the end of this year. Now, Moss brings a very different game to the table. He's 223 pounds, you know, Singletary. Well, not a lightweight scat back. He's also more built to be elusive, whereas Zach Moss is your north-south, more of a power runner.
Yeah, they're definitely complementary backs to each other. And I think everybody really liked what we saw out of Singletary in the tail end of last year.
Yeah.
But the knock on him was always that he's much smaller than you want in a bell cow back, and people don't think that he can shoulder the bell cow touches. Hence, they had a whole bunch of running backs there in that depth chart last year, and Singletary eventually won out because he's talented. But Zach Moss has talent of his own, and it just seems like it's a miserable fantasy fit for both of these guys. It makes me not really want to invest at what Singletary was on his high end last year, because I don't think he can hit the high end with Moss there. And Moss, if he walked into, say, Tampa Bay, where there was a little bit more of an open hole for some game time, I think I would have liked him better. So it looks like a split backfield here, and we're going to have to see how they situationally use these guys.
Yeah, and also, and I think this will be frustrating for fantasy owners, Zach Moss is Utah's all-time rushing touchdown leader. At the goal line, I think they're going to give Zach Moss the ball a lot, and that's going to really hurt Devin Singletary, who now has to score at distance and score on passes. And we've seen running backs that don't get those goal line carries, they don't get those easy touchdowns from inside the five. Those guys can have like four touchdown seasons that really, really end up torpedoing you. And it adds a lot of variable to Devin Singletary's season that worry me.
Yeah, that one's bad all around.
Next. And this was the first, I think, real head scratcher of the draft. Darrington Evans going to Tennessee in the third round. Now, Pro Football Focus had him graded out as an undrafted free agent. And here was the summary that Pro Football Focus had on Darrington Evans. Undersized and unable to break tackles is a bad combo when projecting to the NFL. 200-pound backs with good but not great shiftiness are a dime a dozen in this league. That's the new Tennessee backup behind Derrick Henry. I think he has zero value while Derrick Henry is healthy. And even after, if something were to happen to Derrick Henry, I don't trust Darrington Evans to be a significant contributor.
Well, maybe the Titans just have some inside information because they're obviously from Tennessee. Darrington Evans from nearby Appalachian State. And maybe they just needed somebody who could run at the approximate altitude of 597 feet, which is where Nashville is located. So I don't quite understand this one. They spent a third round pick on him, and it just doesn't quite make sense. But just a reminder, Derrick Henry is on the franchise tag right now. So if you're in a deeper dynasty league, Darrington Evans is the backup running back. He is RB2 in Tennessee right now. Deion Lewis left that team. So if something does happen to Derrick Henry, Darrington Evans is the next guy up. And if something catastrophic happens to Derrick Henry, he might have the opportunity to try to run away with this job if he can. Doesn't sound like he will be able to run away with this job, but there we go.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to touch on the next pick, which was also a head scratcher that went to a team without obvious need and another player that was graded out to be an undrafted free agent. Really weird. We'll talk about AJ Dillon when we come back.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Welcome back to Fantasy Football Weekly. Paul Charchian and Matt Harrison with you. We're breaking down the key players that went after the first round. So second round and beyond. Next up, A.J. Dillon. It was the second pick for the Packers and another head scratcher, a position of really no need for the Packers, and with better running backs on the board, I think they went with a player that Pro Football Focus had ranked in the seventh round or as an undrafted free agent in AJ Dillon, who's got to battle through at least two people on the depth chart ahead of him to get any kind of time.
Church, we could probably do a whole episode on why Green Bay drafted like they did this year, because it made no sense at all. Unless the Packers are already planning on moving on from Aaron Jones when his contract is up after this season, that's the only way I can think that this makes any sense whatsoever, because he's certainly third on the depth chart behind Aaron Jones. and Jamal Williams, who behind Davante Adams was probably the best pass catcher on the field for the Packers last year. So I don't know how A.J. Dillon finds the field unless an injury happens. So he's basically shelved until something like that does happen.
Yeah. And you know what? I didn't love him. I didn't love him as a runner anyway. He's a big bodied north south runner, and he does have some prospects for goal line use, but they got guys who can score touchdowns already. So I think to me, A.J. Dillon is only draftable in dynasty and empire formats where you're already planning for coming years. Mm-hmm. Let's move to the next player drafted, who drops into really the perfect spot, and that's Keyshawn Vaughn, who goes to Tampa Bay and will take over, presumably end up taking over the running game, as they've got to be ready to turn the page on Ronald Jones, and Peyton Barber's already gone.
Well, I mean, wouldn't we all have felt a lot better if Tampa Bay, which was really has been the best landing spot for a running back for about 3 years now. We've all been just salivating for the Buccaneers to take a top flight running back there because it's just been wide open. But then they take Keyshawn Vaughn, and he provides a lot of interest there. I think we all would have preferred one of the top five backs landing in that offense. And
yeah,
maybe the death of Ronald Jones has been greatly exaggerated because he played all right at the tail end of last year. It still feels like a split backfield to me, especially if let's see how Keyshawn Vaughn can block for Tom Brady, because if he's not blocking for his 43-year-old quarterback and he's getting run out of town, I imagine Ronald Jones is going to be in the backfield on any high leverage situation.
I think you've hit the nail on the head with Keyshawn Vaughn, and I'm seeing fantasy experts on Twitter talk about Keyshawn Vaughn as an elite level fantasy producer this year. We saw Bruce Arians run a split backfield all year, and Peyton Barber was giving him very little, and neither was Jones for that matter, and he kept running a split backfield. And you're absolutely right. If Keyshawn Vaughn misses a block early in the season and Tom Brady takes a big hit, that might be it. That might be over right there. And there's a lot more downside, I think, to Keyshawn Vaughn than people are necessarily recognizing. I think they just really want a part of the now thrilling Tampa Bay offense. I think for what you're going to have to pay for Keyshawn Vaughn, and it's too early to know where he's going in fantasy drafts yet, but I think you're going to see him go like fourth round. Mm-hmm. You can get Ronald Jones in the 12th round, and I think that's going to end up being a better value. And I don't even like Ronald Jones particularly.
We've had a split backfield in Tampa Bay since Warrick Dunn was there, so I don't see it changing anytime soon.
Anthony McFarland was the next player taken for Pittsburgh. McFarland, another guy that Pro Football Focus had as an undrafted free agent. He's a small guy, but he's a tough, hard-nosed runner. But middling measurables, not elusive or shifty, mostly untested through the air. I honestly, I didn't love the pick, but clearly when you look at what happened to that running game with James Conner, hurt for most on and off for most of all last year, the team felt like they needed to have a little better backup plan.
Yeah, James Conner is only 24 years old as of taping. He turns 25 on Cinco de Mayo. His body might be about 35 years old with all the stuff that he's gone through in his life, with all the injuries, and he's battled through cancer and all that stuff. So last year when Conner went down, converted tight end Jalen Samuels filled in admirably, especially in the passing game. But the run game was kind of thrown in the ditch when James Conner went down. So McFarland provides that running option, and he could be a replacement sooner than people think, especially if Conner can't stay healthy and they just want to use Jalen Samuels as kind of a gadget running back tight end player.
The next player taken was another one that Pro Football Focus had as an undrafted free agent. And that's DJ Dallas from Seattle, who ends up going to Seattle. DJ Dallas was a player that Pro Football Focus did not like much. They mentioned it, good balance and a powerful lower body who welcomes contact, but he's average speed, slow to get up to full speed, low agility, slow into his cuts. He was not productive in college. I don't think DJ Dallas really is a factor that fantasy owners need to sweat as they're thinking about the starting rotation here in Seattle.
Well, Seattle always drafts weird guys. Like they find their own guys and they just they draft weird, and it seems to kind of work out for them for the most part. Dallas went in the fourth round. And the reason that you have to kind of pay attention to this guy is that depth chart, while there's two guys in front of him, both of those guys got injured. Both Chris Carson and Rashad Penny both had big injuries right before the playoffs began. And Penny had an ACL, which prompted the return of beast mode in the playoffs last year. So DJ Dallas just figures in as a possible depth guy, especially if Carson or Penny deal with any injuries again this year. So he's a guy to pay attention to, and probably not a guy who ends up on fantasy rosters at the beginning of the season, but by middle or tail end of the season, he could be one of those guys who maybe has a role in the NFL. It would be weird, but not crazy.
Yeah, I don't see the skill set for DJ Dallas. I think he will need some things to work his way, like Chris Carson getting hurt. Rashad Penny doesn't bounce back from the ACL as well as they'd like. Something like that, to me, is the scenario where DJ Dallas plays a role. Two more running backs to talk about. Joshua Kelly was somebody I thought would go much earlier than he ultimately went, and he ends up going to the Chargers. This is a kid out of UCLA who I liked. He's a short, shifty north-south runner with good footwork. He's tricky to bring down. He's big enough for goal line use. He's athletic. He's nimble. He's fast enough. There's a lot that I did like about him. And he was successful behind a bad offensive line. Now he goes to the Chargers, and Melvin Gordon's not there anymore. What do you think of Joshua Kelly for the Chargers?
Well, I know, Charch, you were kind of a fan of Justin Jackson as kind of a sneaky pickup this offseason. And Joshua Kelly is like Justin Jackson in so many ways. Kelly only had 11 receptions last season, so he's probably not cutting into Austin Eckler's feature back / receiving role.
Right.
So I think it's Kelly and Jackson who are maybe splitting carries, or maybe one of them wins out to be the low end of the timeshare split, maybe 25-30% for either of those guys if they win it from the other. So I don't really like Kelly's chances of making a dent this year.
Do we think Austin Eckler gets 2/3 of the overall carries, leaving 1/3 to be split then perhaps evenly between Justin Jackson and Joshua Kelly?
I don't know if carries, but touches. I think touches for sure, because I think he factors so much in the passing game.
Yeah. To me, this has not materially hurt Austin Eckler.
Yeah, I don't think it does anything for Austin Eckler.
All right. Joshua Kelly to the Chargers. One last running back, Eno Benjamin. A fascinating player. He's got prototypical running back size. And by the way, he ends up going to the Arizona Cardinals, where he is the presumed backup to Kenyon Drake, although Chase Edmonds has flashed a little bit. One of the best tackle breakers in this draft is Eno Benjamin, and he can be special that way. You're always looking for something that really defines a player that makes him possible to succeed at the next level. And for Eno Benjamin, it's his tackle breaking, super elusive, good cutback abilities, gets a lot of forward momentum going, and he's strong and determined. I think there was some, and he can catch a little bit too, by the way. I think there's some things to like from Eno Benjamin in Arizona, but Kenyon Drake remains the starter.
Well, Kenyon Drake is the starter, but are we 100% sure that Kenyon Drake is good? Because pretty much all of his fantasy value happened in three games last year. Week 9, 15 for 110 and a score. Week 15, 22 for 137 and 4 touchdowns. And week 16, 24 for 166 and 2. That was all of his production. He was getting 30 yards, 40 yards, a 60-yarder thrown in here and there, and not scoring touchdowns. So are we sure that Kenyon Drake is good? And are we sure that Chase Edmonds is good? And I know Brian really liked Eno on the earlier pod, and he fell to the seventh round to the hometown Cardinals. It's a good offense. The Cardinals were second in rushing DVOA last year. He's a stash play in both Dynasty and Redraft leagues, because I think he has a sneaky chance of emerging from all this as maybe the top runner in Arizona.
Maybe I thought Kenyon Drake looked pretty good. To my eye, he passed the eye test. They improved their offensive line a little bit. Round three, they took Josh Jones, who some people thought, I did, thought he'd go at the end of the first round, potentially, and many people did. He was mocked regularly to the end of the first round. He slid all the way to pick 72. Offensive line gets a little bit better. I think that helps Kenyon Drake's overall efficiency, which was, as you correctly noted, was up and down. And you're right. You know, I think the thing you're really hammering on with these, you know, three great games is if you look at his total numbers at the end of the year, they look really good. But he did have these down games where he just couldn't get anything going. And I want to say that was more of a product of a bad offensive line. And I still think Kenyon Drake walks in as the starter here in a seventh rounder. In Eno Benjamin is not likely to take that away from Kenyon Drake. And if memory serves, I think they re-signed Kenyon. Did they sign Kenyon Drake to a new, better deal, or am I misremembering?
I think they re-upped him a little bit, but I don't think he's on a huge deal at all.
Yeah, you might be right about that. I should have looked it up before the show. That would have been super professional of us. But you know, we're at the end of the podcast. Nobody's listening anyway, so you know, it's probably pretty safe to just go with what we think it is.
Kenyon Drake's on the transition tag, Charge.
There we go. Transition tag.
So he's on a 1 year deal for $8.4 million.
Yes. Reported in mid-April that they would like to sign him to a long-term contract, but they have not done so to this point. Now that the draft is over, perhaps they will. We'll find out. We should mention, although I think people know, no David Johnson in Arizona either, which clears the way for a little extra time for potentially Eno Benjamin as well. Mm-hmm. We're half hour into the podcast. What I think we'll do is handle wide receivers, quarterbacks, tight ends in the next podcast, or the one 2 weeks from now. So, or perhaps an upcoming one, but I think we'll do it maybe next week. How does that sound, Matt?
Sure. I'm good with that.
All right, good. We spent so much time on running backs and, you know, I was originally thinking maybe we'd be a little quicker, but man, you and I just love to hear our own voices.
I know. I like to talk a lot and especially about running backs like Eno Benjamin.
Like Eno Benjamin. I hear you. We're breaking down Eno Benjamin.
Yeah, there we go.
Who knows? You know, one of those seventh round running backs, but the opportunity is there. Matt, great job today. Thanks a lot for helping out.
Thank you, Charge.
Okay. Everybody else, we'll be back in 1 week. Thanks for listening.
Fantasy Football Weekly is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.